From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And welcome to Defrag Tools, the show that takes you inside Microsoft and inside Windows. And Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year, everyone.
Here we are taping. It is, what, the 4th?
4th.
Just after New Year, we're all back from our vacations.
Car parks are full, freeways are full.
It's actually the commute is a little hairier.
I was enjoying a 15-minute commute that turned into 45 minutes yesterday.
That's right. Everyone's back.
Did you have time off?
I did, yeah. I spent a couple of weeks just kind of hanging around, a lot of family time, and, you know, played with my son a lot. He got some Lego stuff for Christmas, and we played with that.
Unfortunately, I didn't. I worked.
You worked?
I held down the fort. It was a penance for going to Australia.
Oh, right. Well, you did have that earlier.
I did have that.
In December.
But I myself also did play with some Lego.
Oh, good.
I'm a bit of a Lego fan.
Yeah.
Board games.
I've been to your house.
Machikoro.
A lot of Legos.
Machikoro is my new favorite game.
What is it?
Machikoro.
Machikoro.
It's a card game. Japanese card game. Really cool.
I have not heard of it.
And then a couple of favorites like Lords of Waterdeep and stuff.
But yeah. Very cool.
I'm not talking about board games or anything.
All right. So what are we talking about? We're talking about everyone's favorite topic, application hangs.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe not everyone's favorite topic, but it is a topic that we've been asked to cover in more detail.
Repeated emails.
Yeah. We've talked about it a little bit, but if you go way back, but it's worth revisiting.
Yeah, taking the higher view of it. We went through episodes where it says, hey, this is a semaphore, this is a mutex, this is an event, this is a critical section.
Kind of goes back to the old Windows Internals book by Mark Rusinovich.
Yeah.
Section on synchronization, I think. I don't know what the title of this chapter is, but yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, what we're going to kind of do here is just some high-level thought processes, stuff like that, and how to just approach dump file, so you go, hey, this is not performing very well.
I have an application that's hung, or it's glitchy,
or at least it's running slow.
Or it takes forever to do this thing.
There's a couple of things you can do. You can do really high-level things. It's just process monitor, you know, record a trace and sort and look at the durations, and you know, use the highlight tool and say if the duration's over 1 second for a call, then you know that call was slow, and that might have been it. So it might be a network call or.
There is actually a built-in function in Task Manager if you go to the Details tab, which occasionally works, called Analyze Wait Chain.
So
you can like right-click on it.
Just choose Explorer.
Say Explorer, and you go Analyze Wait Chain. Now this will work for certain types of hangs if the app is waiting on another process for something. But it doesn't necessarily help you if the app is waiting on some other thread in itself.
Yeah. And actually, we should be very clear about what it can and can't do. Mm-hmm. It's called wait chain traversal. You can only traverse wait objects, which is like semaphore, event, critical section, mutex, that have an owner, so a thread that owns it. And unfortunately, semaphores, events, and mutexes mutex does. Semaphore and events don't have owners.
Right.
And so if it's a mutex-based hang or a critical section-based hang, then yes, it will follow the tree of weights, but it won't get you much further.
So it's worth a try if you see an app hang, but it don't necessarily count on it always working.
Yeah, but it does work cross-processes because mutex is a cross-process thing. Mm-hmm. You can go way down the rabbit hole and go into Windows Performance Toolkit, get a trace, and then analyze to the nanosecond every single permutation. You know, wait, that's a very big hammer to use. It takes a lot of time. So we're going to kind of go in the middle ground and just do the cursory dump approach, the debugger approach. The only caveat I'll say here is, or warning is, a lot of hangs do make progress, just albeit slowly, right?
Right.
So, you know, if you take a dump file, you don't really know whether you've been waiting for a millisecond or waiting for a minute, and so for that object. So it's sometimes worthwhile taking a couple of dump files and doing some differential analysis.
Mm-hmm.
But let's keep it simple and just do what we're going to do some easy examples.
Yeah.
Bring up a command prompt. And just for the sake of it, I have proc dump available here. Let's just take a dump file of Explorer right now, right?
Okay.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a couple. So every second, take one. And I'm actually going to look at the third one. But by the time I bring it up, I'm going to make it do some stuff.
And of course, we have previous episodes on proc dump in depth. It's Andrew's tool for taking dump files of running processes, running apps.
Dumping a process,
that's the name.
So I'm going to take three. I'm actually not even going to look at one and two. I'm just using it to give me a slight delay. I could use a sleep command to do the same thing, but actually I might do it. Yeah, three would be enough. So I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to quickly just bring up Explorer, and it's actually frozen taking the dump file. And then I'm going to open up lots of them, and I'm going to start, and it's frozen because it's taking the dump file, and I'm just going to...
So proc dump will actually freeze the process for the duration of writing the dump.
So, and because I chose Explorer, it means my UI is a bit frozen.
Ironically, also kind of big because Explorer is a fairly big process.
So now we've got one of those, and I assume that last one, this 341. Should have something in it. So it should have some type of busyness to it.
Mm-hmm.
So
open it up in WinDBG.
This is just a time dump. There's nothing specific about it. It doesn't mean thread zero at the moment. It doesn't mean that it's the one that's slowing things down. In fact, we didn't even know it was slow at this point.
Yeah, I mean, we typically open crash dumps, right? And it'll come up, and it'll be in some thread context where the exception happened. Yeah. But this is just a dump of just a running process, so there's really no
point in time.
There's no error here to look at.
There's no focus point.
Yeah. Right, so it just kind of comes up in a random thread context. And
So there's a couple of things you can do. You can just look at every thread. All right, I'll do that a second because it's a bit noisy. For simple things, do we even have threads? Right, so the tilde command. Yeah, there's 115 threads in this guy.
That's big.
Which is a fair. It's not small. This frozen unfrozen thing on the end. That's not it being frozen or it's suspended. It's not as if it's not reflective of it being hung. Don't get caught up on that.
Right.
just means that nobody has suspended it for debugging purposes. Right.
Okay.
So yes, there's lots of threads. What we can do is tilde star, which means for every thread, run the command. So we also do K, which is the stack command.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get,
all the
was it 115, was it? 115.
A lot of call stacks.
Call stacks, right. And,
now it's this is the classic, that's a lot of information.
Now what?
What do I do with this?
Yeah. So there's a couple of things that you just need to jump at and go, this is noise. This guy particularly is a very common thing. It is the standard Windows worker thread. And it's sitting there waiting to do work. So it's irrelevant. This Windows storage one, same type of idea, but it's explicitly a worker for storage, waiting for it to run or terminate. There's that noise one. And a lot of these will look the same. This one actually looks like it's actually doing something because it's a bit deeper. And there's a couple of approaches you can take to this. You can just go, let's get rid of all the dupes, and I just want to see the signatures, and there's a command called unique stack for that. And so this is listed.
So this filters out any dupes of existing ones, because a lot of times a process will create several worker threads, for example. Like a pool of worker threads it can hand work to, and we don't need to see all those.
So this one, they use 68. There was 68 dupes of this one.
Oh wow!
Right, and so and this is the thread numbers of all the guys who look that look way.
That cuts things down a bit.
So that got rid of some of the noise, and then this happens to be a COM one, which is a little bit send receive COM messages. Now, whether that's a bad thing or a bad good thing, I don't know. And really, what I'm doing here is I'm going, let's scan through and look. Oh look, this one hasn't got a weight on the top. Right. But if we go down that previous one, it does.
So anything that's got a wait for multiple objects or wait for single object is typically just a thread that's waiting for some message or event before it will do anything.
Yeah, and if it's a shallow one, if it hasn't got many frames, the odds are it's waiting for work.
Right, like those
working threads. And if it's deeper, which this one's kind of on the borderline, if it's deeper, you're waiting for someone else to finish their work.
So maybe you've done some work, but in order to continue, you need to and get something else.
So this one, I would say, hey, all these guys maybe are waiting on something. Just because it's COM-based, I'm actually
erring the other way. It adds a lot to the stack. Yeah.
For no reason, no concern. Mm-hmm. This guy, on the other hand, actually was. So when we were doing it, you know, some shell to do with the registry verb.
So at the moment this dump was taken, this thread was actually
doing stuff.
Looks like it was adding something to a registry.
I think what it may have been doing is setting up the context menu with this. Actually, I find it. I have confused that. That's weird. It's setting up this stuff. It's setting up what should the open with list and all those come, and where do these come from?
Right.
So I think it was setting up that for the folder that whatever it is. Actually, we could out of general interest, let's use PDE, which we've talked about before. We won't go into today, but let's just see if we can find.
And PDE is a debugger extension. We have a link to it on our Defrag Tools
on the homepage.
OneDrive share on the homepage.
There you go. It's probably something to do with the word Explorer open. Something. So it's just purely scraping the pure stack. So dormant thread, guy who's actually working, guy who's a bit shallower, waiting for work.
Looks like some worker.
And I think, was there more than one? No, there wasn't any repeats of that one. And so on, so on, so on. So you wait. Now PDE actually is kind of designed to help filter some of these things out. So you can say deep, say, I want to see that same output, that list of threads, but only if it has a certain number of frames. So like those shallow ones tend to be workers and the higher ones tend to be, waiting for work.
Not necessarily active.
Yeah, so let's try 10 frames.
So this is just the theory here is just any call stack that's got a lot of calls on it is probably more of interest than something that's just sitting there with five things.
This one's just at 10 frames, so let's bump it up to 16 frames.
Okay.
And it's still a fair few, but I was going to clear screen so we can scroll better. And you start looking, it's going, okay, that's a waiter, it's nothing doing anything. Another waiter, it's a bit thicker. Another waiter, something to do with messaging on the Explorer frame. Waiter. And this is a busy one. So there's actually this, you can do this deep way of doing it, which is unfortunately still catches the wait ones. And also you can have a false positive where you've excluded something that actually was working but was shallow.
Mm.
So there's another command that was deep I had before. I won't show busy, and just for the sake of typing it, one's the default, but you see how, it's got to have at least four frames, right? And so these this is a good example. So there is a tip TFS something waiting to get a message. I don't know what that is.
I think it's the tooltip? Touch input.
It is the touch keyboard. Very good. Mm-hmm. Touch keyboard handwriting panel tool. So you can just purely from this, where was the start of it? The busy output, everybody who's these guys, well, they're kind of waiting, but they're waiting on user messages rather than on a synchronization object. This actually is waiting to query the operating system. So that actually is waiting inside the kernel right now. So four is interesting. Waiting for a message. This one's actually doing work, and this is the registry to do with the context menu, probably. Mm-hmm. And so, four is the only one that's actually stuck in the kernel right now. And it's querying some type of system information, and just scraping the stack. I mean, there's nothing really defined on it, but
get notified button flags.
But if you're saying, "Hey, this thing's completely jammed, Explorer's not responding," that would be a thread that I would go, that's interesting. And because it's a query system information, you would be down in the kernel now, and so you'd have to kind of transition your thought process from user debugging to kernel debugging. Mm-hmm. But
these are just some ways of kind of, if you get a dump of a process that you're concerned about that's slow or seems hung, of maybe ways to approach looking at that dump, f- filtering down to just what's of interest in that, what threads are worth looking at.
Yeah, it's like a noise removal exercise.
And Explorer is a real good example because it's got so many threads. Like a typical app that you dump might not have 116 threads.
It's quite diverse. Right. In things are actually, I mean, this is just busy. It's not stuck, right? And so if you go to the, I'll do it. If we go to the OneDrive, kind of go to the homepage, go to the OneDrive. Now, these links keep on changing. Unfortunately, the long-term URLs, so there's a couple of pages where the links out of date, but
if you go to that page and click from there,
we always update that page.
Sometimes people email us because they'll look at an old episode and we have the link in the show notes and it's like
a bit stale link. So here's PDE, which we've been using, download it, and there's a whole bunch of demo apps and there's a whole episode on this, but I downloaded that, compiled everything, and so
your demo apps. So this, it's just the source in the download. Yeah. So you have to load it into Visual Studio.
Actually, I should, mental note, I'll put the exes there as well. I'll do that.
So we've got them, and because we compiled them, we also have the PDB symbol files.
So how should we hang? How do you want to do it? let's do a critical section. That's a pretty common one.
All right.
Critical section deadlock, right? So that's got a couple of threads, and now it's all jammed up and doing its thing.
It's got a couple of several threads. These values at the beginning before the colon look like thread IDs.
So we'll take a full dump of what's the process name? Critsec.
Critsec deadlocks.
Not good enough. As long as it's a partial match, that's a unique proc dump. We'll pick it up.
Okay. So this is just another way of getting these is through Task Manager.
Oh yeah, yeah.
If you don't have proc dump, you can go to Task Manager and right click on it.
Yeah, you could have gone
wherever it is and say create dump file.
The only thing you have to be careful of is this is not bitness compared. So Task Manager is a 64-bit process. It will take a 64-bit dump.
Which is harder to look at.
And so if it's a 32-bit process, which this is,
it
would actually make a dump that's not useful. So it's kind of easier with proc dump because it does the auto matching.
Good point.
If you don't have it, then what you have to do actually is Windows.
Oh, can you run the
sys-while 64 task manager?
Oh, look at that. I didn't know you could do that.
And didn't like it because there's a mutex there. And so here's the 32-bit one.
32-bit task
manager. And then when you dump it here, it would, in your details pane, it would work.
Very cool tip.
So this one's a pretty easy example. There's a command called bang locks, and its whole job is to work out what went wrong.
And now this will work on critical sections. It may not necessarily work on like events.
It's a critical section.
But this one, because we know from the app name. It's a critical section. So usually bang locks, I find on a hang type of process dump, bang locks is a really easy thing to try right up front.
Yeah, it's like bang.
And sometimes you'll hit it right away.
And the other one bang analyze minus V should do it as well. Sometimes the way that the dump was taken, it has an error code in it that trips up bang analyze and it wants to do crash analysis rather than hang analysis. If it's tripping up over itself and going down the wrong thought process, you can add minus hang to force it into hang mode.
Okay.
Right, and this will just do roughly the same thing. I unfortunately have the internal debugger on here, but it says it's an application hang on itself. It's a busy hang, as in it was cycling on itself, and because we have the PDB, we have the source code, and on here it says this is the line of code that you
pretty nice.
You did
you
it,
actually
right?
have yeah, the source to the app.
But if you don't, then it's just a matter of going bang locks. It says people are waiting on this. It is owned by that. People are waiting on this. It is owned by this. And you go, well, who owns?
And the contention count will tell you how many threads are currently waiting on that critical section. Is that right?
Yeah. So there's one person. Actually, we can go to the first one.
That first one has three waiters.
So 3228.
Actually, now there's a lock count and a contention count, and I can't remember which of those is.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
One of them maybe just accumulates over time, and maybe one is how many are currently.
If it's non-zero, it's interesting.
Yes.
So this guy owns this thread, and he is waiting on BB2384. And if we do a KV, you may be lucky to see the object right there in the parameters. Ooh. So yeah, this guy's, this is a classic example of a deadlock, which is where A is holding B while B holds A.
Mm-hmm.
The other examples you get, and this is actually the more prevalent one, which I've seen, is a critical section orphan.
Mm.
And by what I mean by that is, it's still on. That's the deadlock one. What I mean by orphan is someone has owned a critical section, and before the thread has ended, they forgot to release the critical section. So it's owned by a thread that risky can never unlock it.
Right.
It's orphaned.
The thread's gone. The thread that remembered that it had it is no longer there.
Yeah.
It's and never going to happen.
So everybody waits on it.
And so this is kind of common because then you'll just get this hang that never goes away until you kill the process.
So like at the moment, there's there's lock contention on this guy owned by 2668. We do a tilde command, which lists all the things.
All the threads.
Here's 2668, and if we look at thread 3, he is waiting on something else. He's not actually, he never did release. He's waiting on a different object.
3 is delete file. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that's weird. Delete file, open file. That's what. I think he's doing that for.
He's like creating and deleting a file or something.
Yeah, I think it's just to cause a delay or something.
Right.
But he owns a lock, but there's no code here that suggests that he should own it. And so it's an orphan lock.
And of course, people can look at the source and see why he's creating and deleting files.
Yes. So it's bang locks is the main command. Mm-hmm. Anything more than that, it gets a bit more complex mm-hmm. because things aren't owned by anybody. So then you start having to track down some pointers and various other things. So it gets a bit harder.
There can be cases where you may not find it in a single process either because it may be waiting on some other process.
Yeah, that's quite common. Yeah.
Right.
You'll have an RPC call to someone else, particularly with a modern application, a UWP, because of the sandbox around it. So that's how you want to talk to the camera or the microphone. Well, your process hasn't got access to that.
Mm-hmm.
So it does an RPC call to SVC host that then does that on your behalf
mm-hmm.
and then marshals the data back. You can have delays out of proc a lot, and it tends to be an RPC call. Mm-hmm. Obvious ones are things like delete file and create file and network calls and DNS lookups.
Yeah.
So if an application's hung and you do that being busy, and what filters out is this one that's just sitting there on a delete file call or a create file call, well, that's what your problem is, right? It's just mm-hmm. stuck there. Mm-hmm. And then bang locks will show you the tree of people if it's critical sections that are dependent on it. But yeah, just go in there, look at it holistically. Like you said before, do a lot of filtering
mm-hmm.
and try to get a conceptual idea of what's benign and what's active and what's pending true activity, busy activity. And
mm-hmm.
It's not too hard. It's you can easily work it out. And if you get hard ones, email us and we'll dive into it for you.
Take a look.
Cool.
Right on. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks for watching. As always, if you have comments or questions, put them in the show notes down there or email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.
See you next week, and have a happy new year.